The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 178. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Sunday.
Brian Manjoma.
Better put some respect in his name.
And Mr. Brett Murdoch.
To my surprise, apparently some people are not a fan of me.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. So we got a little bit of a shorter cast. No Puerto Ricans this week, basically. You know, Adam's doing Adam's stuff, and Manny's at C2E2. I'm surprised Manny didn't plug his shit last week. You know, he usually does that, but Manny may pop in later. He says he'll try to just for a quick minute and stuff. But yeah, he's at in Chicago. If you guys are over at C2E2, the comic convention over there, please hit him up. You guys, like, you know, whoever lives out there, you guys always hit him up every year. So make sure to do that again. He'll draw you stuff. That's what he does for a living, man. All right. What else we got to talk? Damn, we're just going to jump right into it, aren't we? There's not really many vamping to do. All right, so this week had a lot of stuff happening, actually. Very interesting. So the biggest one of them all is Sony finally revealed the release date and some more footage and some more details on Spider-Man. It's coming this year, September, was it 7th, I believe?
September 7th.
Yeah. Whew, man, they showed a bunch of gameplay, like actual gameplay, not just fucking CG and stuff. It's just looking legit, man. It had that nice Alex Ross fucking cover for Game Informer. Man, I'm ready, man. So I want to get you guys' thoughts on this shit. Because Sony sent him with the 1-2. Last week it was God of War. Now this week is Spider-Man. Murder, man.
Is it, though?
Yes, man. I'm fucking, Brett, obviously, you don't care about that, but everybody was losing their minds.
What do you mean, obviously, I don't care about that?
Brett, I'm going to be honest, man. You don't seem to like PlayStation exclusives very much, man.
No, dude, I'm stoked for both of these games. They're just old fucking news at this point. Like, I'm glad they got a release date, but, I mean, I'm not a fan of how long that these exclusives are teased in front of us before they finally dropped. I mean, we've been hearing about these games for the last, 3 years?
2 years for Spider-Man, if I remember correctly.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but no, I think the excitement was warranted, man. It looks really, really good. And, there's some bullshit I do want to address, but I want to get you guys' thoughts on the shit you saw this week. Carlos, you first.
Yo, man, this game, like, the gameplay footage when Spider-Man's traversing New York looks so good, man. I'm like, This kind of gave me vibes of like what I felt when I first saw footage of Prototype and Infamous back in the day. It's like, oh, you get to traverse like the area so smoothly. But this game, man, everything looks smooth about this game.
It's the frame rate.
What's that?
Apart from the frame rate.
Oh, I couldn't tell in the video. Was it bad?
It's 30. It's bad.
How is that bad? If it's locked 30, that's fine. You know,
30.
Oh, God. We're not doing this.
Yeah, we're not going to go.
No,
we're
really?
Not,
come yeah. on, please, please.
No, we're not going to go do that shit. It's 30 is perfectly fine. Come on now.
Humor me. It's not.
Yeah, but Brian, just save that for a little bit later, though. Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, too. The poor beggars and shit. It's hilarious. Oh, yeah, Carlos, just quick one thing. What you just said right there shows how, even though you and I have a lot in common, we're very different age-wise. Because I'm like, oh, those are some newer games you referenced, man. Because when I saw this shit, it reminded me of when I saw Spider-Man 2, the video game. Like, that was the first time you actually saw Spider-Man swinging around in an open-world New York City.
That was so good. You could just do that.
That game is still, like, the best Spider-Man game. You know, here's the funny thing. That game itself wasn't that good. Like, you know, the shit you had to do, like the balloons and all that stuff. But the traversal was so good, you didn't care back then. You know, you did not give a fuck. So this definitely gave me echoes of that, man. So that definitely good shit, man.
This game's going to be amazing. We all knew that. We're just.
Yeah. And spectacular even.
Yes.
Chris, what do you think of the footage?
Well, it looked good. I'm just I'm surprised September is the month. Is everybody just afraid of Rockstar that everything is either pushed forward or pushed after? It's like give Red Dead Redemption to a wide berth. Even Spider-Man's got to give John Marston some space. Give him some space, guys. So it looked good, but I'm like, damn, Red Dead Redemption has these guys so scared. Because I'm like, I saw the Spyro remastered thing today, and that was also September. I'm like, everything's September. Why? And then I remembered, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out.
Nobody is touching November, right? Comes out? Red Dead?
No, October, the end of October. Yeah,
October is no man's land. No one's touching that fucking month. you know?
But no, I'm excited for it. Like, that's one of the games I'm looking forward to this year. It's fucking Spider-Man, dude. I ain't seen that shit, like you said, till Spider-Man 2. Even, like, Infamous, like, you could transverse around, but not, like, swinging around the city, you know?
Yeah. And like, just the combination of the IP Spider-Man with Insomniac. Like, Insomniac has made really good games that do kind of similar things, like Sunset Overdrive and Infamous. So it's like, or not Infamous. What else did they make?
Ratchet & Clank?
Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah. So it's like, you know this game's going to be good. Like, is it going to be great? We'll see. But I don't think this game's going to be like trash or anything.
Yeah, no. It's Insomniac. What happened, Brett?
Game is going to be great. It's going to get nines and tens. It's going to be awesome. I don't know if my tone is confusing you.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm like, this game is going to be great. I'm expecting it to be great. I'm like, yep, that's what I was expecting. We've released it now. I'm still as excited as I was before. Let's just fucking do this.
Yeah. Okay, so it's one of those guys. I've seen some people complain about it. Yo, just give me this fucking game now, son.
Yeah, you know? No, I've known, like, that this is I'm not surprised by anything that I've seen. Everything that I've seen, I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I've expected. No spoilers, please. So I'm not going to watch anymore. But yep, that's exactly what I'm expecting. I'm just as excited about it. God of War is a little bit different story where I'm kind of hesitant. But I've been bored of, like you said, this game reminds me of Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, and you kind of know what you're getting with a Spider-Man game. Even though it's by Insomniac, you kind of know what you're getting. You know, so that, you know, it's easy to be more excited for that, you know.
The one question I had
to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
The one question I had for you guys is, I didn't see that much stuff about a story in this trailer.
Yeah,
I'm curious, like if it has a good story or not. Like, have we gotten anything? I haven't seen anything regarding.
Oh, I forgot one of Spider-Man's writers actually writing the story, and I know the main villain is like, I forgot his name, that Chinese guy who could be black and white and stuff. He's like a newer villain, so that's kind of interesting. They're not just throwing fucking Green Goblin in there. They're going for one of the newer villains. But yeah, they haven't really talked about the story, but I'm guessing since the shit drops in September, we're probably going to get the story later on, maybe during E3, you know.
Wait for E3.
Yeah, I think for this one they really just wanted to focus on the you know, the gameplay and stuff.
Don't care, get to be Spider-Man.
Yeah. All right, Brian, I want to hear your criticisms.
I'm just not that hyped. Like, I've not seen anything that looks nice to me. I'm just like, whatever. Like, okay, it looks good. Like, graphics looks nice. Like, Spider-Man swings pretty damn convincingly. That's pretty sweet. Like, he does, like, the spin thing. Okay, cool. Great, but... I've not heard him talk much about... Like the gameplay, like, okay, do you upgrade your stuff? Do you not upgrade your stuff?
Yeah, you do. They said that. They said, okay. Yeah. And by the way, I learned about that because of the collector's edition. It's like, oh, here's some pre-order shit where you get to upgrade a little faster. I'm like, okay, it's going to do that shit. You know, there it is.
Are they talking about microtransactions?
With the microtransactions.
Yeah, Infamy? Yeah.
It's actually right for microtransactions. Like, hey, you have upgrades to your game. Usually people tend to monetize those things. That's how things work. Hence, I don't know. They haven't said yes. They haven't said no. Have they? Unless I'm wrong. I'm just asking out there because I have no idea.
Oh, for like actual legit microtransactions? That's a good. Yeah, I don't know yet. They just said there's going to be, you know, DLCs and shit.
I guarantee you there will be costumes.
Yeah, there already are. Hey, Brett, there's one for you, man. Punk Spider-Man.
Do you have to buy it?
I think it's a pre-order thing. You don't like that.
Brilliant. We have pre-order bonuses and we have DLCs, which means I'm going to wait for the Game of Year edition.
Yeah. End of story. Yeah, but every game does that, so you can't really fault it, you know?
I am going to fault it by default because it's doing it.
Yeah, so basically every game...
Just because every game is doing it, it does make it okay.
So you do this for every game, then?
If it's doing it, then yes.
Okay, like, fair enough. Just be consistent. That's all I'm asking for. Oh, my thing is...
Damn right. I'm doing it for Shadow of War because, hey, you want to have your DLCs and microtransactions? Cool. I'll wait for the Game of Year edition.
Oh, I heard pulled the marketplace down.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about Shadow of War in a little bit, so hush up on that for now, people. By the way,
No
microtransactions.
That's what I'm reading.
Okay, so that's good. That's good.
Even then, I'm still going to wait because, again, I have no, I just don't see anything that's attracting me with this game right now.
Can I ask you a question, Brian?
Uh-oh. By the way, before you ask the question, I want to give a shout out to my man Daniel J. You know, $2, baby. I appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
And no, Red Infamy, I didn't go to PAX East either. I got shit to do, man. Actually, I'll tell you later what's going on. Anyway, go ahead. Ask your question.
So, Brian, what's the last game you were really excited for? A new release? Like when it was actually, like before it released?
New release I was actually excited for.
Yeah.
Nier Automata.
Interesting. I'm trying to gauge if maybe this is just like a state you're always in, like a cautious state with new games.
Usually when I see people talking about a game, as in like in interviews and previews and whatnot, I tend to listen to what they say. I listen to the content of the words. Like, do they talk more about how the game plays? Do they talk about more how the game feels? Do they talk more about how the story works? And do the developers talk about, like, when developers talk, they tend to talk about the parts that they're most proud of and the parts that they had the most involvement in. So that just gauges to me, like, what is the focus of the game? And it was one I heard that they have a button that allows you to turn 180. That's when I was like, I won't really enjoy this game because to me, that's a design decision that came into fact because of the camera angle, which came into fact because of the cinematic. No, sorry, that's God of War. Okay, sorry, hold on, wrong game.
This guy's getting his Sony franchises mixed up.
Because I was thinking like
next week. Yeah, it's not that. It's just that sometimes I'm just not hyped for a game. And I'm like, hey, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, and the reason exciting. And the reason I asked is because you kind of gave the same like the same answer for God of War when we were talking about that. So I'm like, maybe Brian's just not into new games like that until like.
No, I am. I just don't find all of them that exciting. Like, give me something that's fresh, you know. Give me something that's juicy, you know. Not like, hey, this is Spider-Man 2 HD remaster effectively.
Brian, I think I'm seeing it.
Damn, son.
Man, that's
that British cynicism,
how many people,
man.
I was saying that, hey, this reminds me of Spider-Man 2. It's like, okay, cool. So people are wanting a Spider-Man 2 remaster or remake, and it seems like people are like putting that on this game. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to wait it out. And if it's like Spider-Man 2, great. If it's not, then I won't be as disappointed as other people may be. So hence, I'm just being like, cool.
I'll give Brian some more ammo. What are they doing in this game they didn't do in Prototype?
Oh, shit.
Web slinging?
Okay, I don't get what your question is, Brett.
What is in this game that is not in Prototype?
Spider-Man?
Yeah, other than Spider-Man.
Different costumes?
My point is that you bring up a good point in that there's nothing really revolutionary about this. I'm still excited because it looks like a fun game, but no, I see where you're coming from. Like, yeah, they're not really. There's nothing new or amazing other than Spider-Man.
By the way, no one is making the argument that this game is revolutionary.
Yeah, no one's talking about
that. Just to put that on the record.
Yeah, people want to play because it's fucking Spider-Man. That's it.
This is just my concern. Like, this isn't anything that I've not seen before. It's like, okay, it's Spider-Man. Web-slinging, it has Arkham-style combat, which Tony knows I'm not a big fan of. So it's like, I have no reason to be excited for this game. Like, it'll look well, but as you know, I don't play games to look at them. I play games to play them. So if I won't enjoy how the game plays, it looks like it. I feel like the whole, like, zingers things on the faces. And it's like, okay, so it's Arkham-style combat because people don't understand how combat actually works, like in God of War. But hey,
hip-hop will be happy about that.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm just at the point where it's like there's nothing in here that is exciting me, and I'll just be like, okay, fine. The game will come out, I'll buy it like a year after. That's it.
Yeah, I did want to.
Not like the game as well, people.
Just yeah, that's fine. Yeah. By the way, one guy in or girl, I don't know, in the comments says that Brian, you're too old. Brian's the youngest guy on the panel, man.
Oh yeah, I'm actually turning 28 next year.
Damn, but, man.
Next year, next week. God damn.
Damn,
I
Brian,
don't know how to time properly.
I wish I was 28 again. Fuck. Okay, I now speaking about something, I need to address the port beggars, man. It's fucking hilarious. You know who the main culprit is here, of course, right? The Nintendo guys. Why isn't this shit coming to Nintendo Switch? It needs to be on Nintendo Switch. One guy actually went so far as to say, it's like, why is everybody hyped up about this game? It's just another Spider-Man game. It's like, okay, one, we haven't had a Spider-Man game in years, and two, if that shit was on Switch, because this guy's a big Nintendo fanboy, he'd be like going insane. You know, so you have those guys, and obviously, and I got to address the Microsoft guys. These guys were actually hitting up. Let me step back. This is beautiful. So somebody asked Insomniac, when is this game coming out to Xbox, right? Their response, the Insomniac's official response, never. These dudes got triggered. They're mad. And, you know, the usual things, Chris, our favorite, anti-consumerism. Sony's being anti-consumer right now because this game's only coming out on fucking PlayStation. The usual bullshit, you know? Go ahead, man.
I love how everyone conveniently ignores, like, you know, Sony owns, like, the movie and TV and representational rights to Spider-Man, right? And Insomniac is pretty much making this an exclusive. It's not coming to Xbox. Like that question should have answered itself, but they wanted, you know, it's like, what did you expect them to say? And then they say it, and then you're like flipping out, you know, anti-consumer. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I can legitimately ask, when's the next Gears of War coming to PlayStation? I'll wait for that.
Yeah. Brett, get in here, because I heard you sighing back there, especially the Nintendo guys who want this game.
Okay, I'm gonna start by saying it's not on Nintendo because it can't. I mean,
that's it.
Do we need to go further than that?
Brett said it, not me, man, not me. Well, these guys get mad.
I'm just gonna I'm gonna co-sign that shit though. The Switch cannot handle these fucking games, Chris. Despite what that one guy said, that's just media lies, right? That Switch is as powerful as a PlayStation, according to this one dude.
Oh no, he's mental. Like that guy, I watched that guy's video. He's crazy.
Yo, I'm sure some of you guys in the chat know exactly what I'm talking about too. My man was legit saying, "Oh, they're just lying about that. PlayStation is just as powerful as Switch and vice versa." I'm like, "All right, bro. Okay." Anyway, Brett, continue.
First of all, it can't. So there's that. I don't even okay. To the Xbox guys, you know what this is. It's a PlayStation exclusive game developed by PlayStation as a means to market. Saying that they should share their marketing and give up their advantage, otherwise it's anti-consumerist, is saying like Pizza Hut should also send out Domino's flyers. Like it doesn't make any sense. I realize you're saying that it's anti-consumerist to you, the consumer, to not get this game.
It's against me, motherfucker. I can't get the game. It's against me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not that you can't get the game. It's that you have to buy their product to get the game. And I have a big newsflash for you. That's intentional. And that's not being anti-consumerist. That's being a consumerist. That's being a capitalist company. You are driving somebody and creating demand for your product through exclusivity. That is one of the core principles of economics. We don't need to go over that again.
We've done it before.
Yeah. Remember, don't know how you can cite an economic principle while debasing everything that you need to assume to get to the point for your argument to be true.
Yeah,
right. That's also ignoring the fact about the ownership of the rights of Spider-Man and all that stuff. Throwing all that aside, and then what Brett said, and we've had this whole conversation before about anti-consumer stuff and how competition works, how capitalism works. You know, it's like, just like Brett said, Pizza Hut is not going to advertise for Domino's. Freaking back in the day, Sega did not advertise for Nintendo. They made fun of each other, but they didn't say, like, oh, you know, while you buy Sonic, you should buy the next Mario game. Like, no, that's not how that works.
Yo, but you know, but the thing is, I remember because we took it to the nth levels. Like, it's not just like, oh, I can't get Domino's at McDonald's. I can't get, like, a compressed air can at McDonald's. That's anti-consumer. You know, it's like, what the fuck you guys want? You know? Yeah. Come on,
it's like,
man.
I don't want to shop at Home Depot. I go to McDonald's.
Exactly.
I mean, to a certain extent, you could say it's anti-consumer in the dumbest sense, in that it is not blindly the best thing for you, the consumer. But if you use that definition, nothing, literally nothing, is in the best interest of you, the consumer. When you buy paper towels, they charge you more than it costs to make those paper towels, more than it costs to pay the people who make those paper towels, plus all their supplies, because they want to make extra money. Do they need that extra money? No, but they want that extra money. Is that extra, paying that extra money, good for you, the consumer? No. Is it good for them, the company? Yes. So literally the very principle of profiting off a product, by your definition, is anti-consumer if you want to have that narrow, small-minded scope. But that's not what anti-consumer means. Anti-consumerism is when something is bad against the entire industry practice. The oligarchy of fucking cable companies and the weird little monopoly things that they've divided up. Like, that's anti-consumerism, because it doesn't allow the consumer to make a choice. It backs them into a corner that – and I realize nuance is something that a lot of people aren't going to grasp, but you have to understand the difference between just saying – You can't just say something's anti-consumerist if it doesn't benefit you, the consumer, as much as possible. Because even in that context, and this is where I get frustrated, even in that context, there's literally nothing that you can buy that is not anti-consumer, because everything in a free market is trying to make a profit off of you. And if everything in the market is – everything that you consume as a consumer is anti-consumerist – then it doesn't make any sense, because there is nothing that you can consume that wouldn't be so, which therefore debases the entire idea. Like the,
yeah, but so, you're trying to bring logic to a fanboy argument, and exactly, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't care. We live in a world of logic, no matter how retarded people are. I refuse to abandon sense.
Yeah, go ahead,
no,
Chris.
No. Like Tony's saying, you're trying to put a logical spin. This is all mental gymnastics, because certain guys cannot play this game because they refuse to buy the other systems, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, if you're a gamer, enjoy everything. Like, you know, I have Steam. I have a Switch too. You know, all these guys tell you hate Nintendo. Yeah, well, I still gave them money. I have a Switch and a 3DS, and I play the games. I have an Xbox also, and I enjoy those games when they have them. So there's never a time where I'm like, oh, gee, I can't play that game. No, you know why? Because I love games, so I have everything I need to play whatever comes out. So, like Brett's like, oh, you know, get Game Pass and get Sea of Thieves. You know what? I could do that tonight because I have the system. I'm not going to go online and type out my anger, who's an anti-consumer, because I'm a selfish prick. No, just you just play the games. If you can't play Spider-Man, that's on you. Either decide, like, oh, I'm going to invest in a PlayStation because this is worth it now. They have hit the buffer I need. There's enough stuff on there that's exclusive that I'm going to play it. Or you could be a whiny little bitch, or don't play it, and just don't complain. Just go play on Xbox. Enjoy your Sea of Thieves and whatever else. Wait for Crackdown to come out.
Here's my thing. I'm like, okay, so you spend $500 on the Xbox One, another, was it $300 for the Xbox One S, another $500 for the Xbox One X. You can't shell out $250 for a PlayStation to play Spider-Man? I don't get that. Yeah, and I know that doesn't apply to everybody, but the guys that are mainly complaining are the elite hardcore guys, and they're the ones that have shelled out almost $1,000 for Xbox system this generation. So you can't be spending that kind of money and then say, oh, I don't want to buy a PlayStation, but I'm going to be mad about Spider-Man. Get the fuck out of here, man. That's stupid, you know? But anyway, because I'm going to move on now. Yeah, Spider-Man, this shit's going to be hype. I can't fucking wait. Honey Gaming is not hosting us, man. Fonzie, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Also, I want to give another shout out to Daniel JR, our perpetual sugar daddy. Appreciate the super chat, brother. He just quickly asked, did you guys ever talk about how Xbox is becoming more of a service? Yes, we did. Several times, actually. Oh, man.
I mean, maybe after this year, maybe this between 2018, 2019, look forward to this E3. Maybe after this year, this is Xbox becoming a service.
Yeah. By the way, Daniel J is a slick motherfucker because he knows this is not the question show, but he throws some super chat our way and he knows we're going to answer that fucking question. I'm just being real right now, man. All right. So moving on here. What the fuck are we again? Okay. Oh, okay. This isn't. Carlos, don't add this to the show notes. It's in purple for a reason. We wanted to just quickly, disclaimer, we wanted to talk about the financials. We promised you graphs and all that good shit. But unfortunately, we don't have anything to talk about. Chris, what happened?
Yeah, it's with the annuals. I didn't realize that everybody waits till the end of the month to compile all their stuff and hold investor conferences. So when I talk about the quarterlies, they're ready the day after, but I checked Nintendo's thing. I was like, oh, April 26th, they're having their investor conference. I'm like, what? So I don't have any report. They didn't even put out the numbers. Neither did Microsoft. They have this big investor call on April 26th, and Sony has theirs the next day, April 27th. They have this big investor call. So I have to wait till all the investor calls. I'll probably watch a couple, not Nintendo's because I won't understand it. Like look at Microsoft's and look at Sony's and see what's being said. And then I'll have all that ready by either throw down your questions on the 29th if somebody wants to throw a question, wink, wink, and then I'll do the graphs then, or I'll have to do it on the next throwdown.
Yeah, pretty much. So they're coming, just not today, man. So just want to quickly apologize for that because we like doing that shit, and you guys like it too. I'm surprised people like that shit. They like seeing the numbers. It's interesting to me, you know? Motherfuckers, they be like just listening intently, like, yo, talking about numbers right now, son. This is real. But anyway, let's move on to something else. Calling back to a topic we talked about last week, Far Cry 5. Now, you know, the main topic was about the criticism the game was getting because, you know, journalists expected one type of game. They got a Far Cry game, basically. That didn't stop this game from selling nearly 5 million copies in its first week, you know? See, here's my thing, right? Very interesting, because I remember even when I first started in the industry, which was 2012, right? People actually trusted gaming journalists. I'm just being real right now. They trusted them, right? Now, not anymore, man. Like, there's such a big, like, gap between, like, what the journalists think and what the consumers think. It's pretty interesting. You know, like, if this game would have gotten bad press back in the day, it would not have sold as well. Even though, again, the reviews were kind of weird because they, in the written text, they bashed the game because they didn't have the story they wanted, yet they still give it a 9 or whatever, you know? This is crazy. But yeah, what do you guys think about Far Cry being pretty much a fucking success out the gate?
Well, I mean, I'm playing it right now. I played it. I beat it. It's very good. The story is very, very good. And I think this disconnect is not just with gaming, but we could say it, but we know this is happening with movies as well.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Star Wars, like, you know, I forgot. There's a few other things, even Netflix series that get rated on Metacritic or whatever. The audience score, if it's high, the critic score is low. It's almost guaranteed the audience score is high. Why? It's all, they look for these identity politics and whatever. These guys are not rating the stories, the movies or the games based on the content anymore. They're looking for these, they're checking off these boxes. And if they don't check the boxes, then all of a sudden the game is bad, or the TV show is bad, or the movie's bad. And then people go look at it like, no, this is actually pretty good. And then the exact opposite, if it ticks the boxes, then most likely it's lacking any type of story or content, Last Jedi, you know? So it's in inverse now. And it's permeating everything. Comics, film,
man.
Yeah, video games, oh shit.
Comics, man. That's a whole other topic. But yeah, pretty interesting. But here's the thing. Even though the game, the game sold way more than the last game, but even that game was really successful. Far Cry games always sell a lot. You know, that's something people don't really think about, you know? But I'm glad it's doing it. And Chris, I'm glad to hear that the game's actually good. You said you finished it already, right? The main story?
Yeah, oh, that I won't talk about the ending.
Yeah, don't spoil
it. But I was very, very surprised. Yeah. Very surprised.
So, yeah, pretty cool. One other thing I want to bring up. I want to give a shout out to B. Will, right? Brian Wilson, we've had him on the show before. He, you know, he's a big fan of Throwdown, but he didn't exactly agree with us, you know, about Far Cry and stuff. But Brian, you know, he's not a bomb thrower. He's very articulate and stuff. But the thing is, you know, I feel that people who are in Brian's camp, they wanted something. I think they saw the trailers and stuff. They took something out of it, and then when they didn't get the game, you know, they weren't happy about that. That's fair, right? If, you know, you buy something, you expect something. But at the same time, you know, you may have put something in there that wasn't in even in their first place. Because, again, I saw the same promotional things that the other journalists saw. I got a completely different thing out of it. I'm like, oh, there's some Jonestown shit that's going on. I like modern politics. I didn't even see any of that in there, you know. And Chris, I'm, you know, again, not to spoil it, but wasn't it more like a Jonestown type of thing going on in the game?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're in that valley you're in, and this is not a spoiler, like, you know, Far Cry maps are limited. In that valley in Montana, this cult basically runs the whole fucking thing, and people are trapped in there. They cut off communications, they manipulate the radio waves. This isn't every Far Cry game, by the way. You always have this issue with radio broadcast, and you can't communicate out. Nobody can leave. If you try to leave, you die. You see NPCs dying if they try to get out. And it's like, yeah, this is bad, but this is like reminiscent. Joseph Seed looks like Jim Jones and David Koresh mashed together. Like, it's Waco, it's Jonestown, it's all that shit. It's all of those things put together. And it's like, I don't know how anybody didn't see that. That is the vibe I got immediately, besides all the America themes, like driving a giant truck with guns attached to it, the American flag waving and all that shit, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, but again, I just wanted to just throw that. Here's the thing. I also wanted to kind of apologize to Brian, too, because I actually really wanted him to, you know, be on the show to discuss that. But you know how it is. Even he admits, he was like, not Brian Wilson, you know, B. Will.
Oh.
He was like, I told him, like, yeah, I wanted to talk to you, but, you know, people aren't really talking about Far Cry anymore, you know? He was like, yeah, I understand the news cycle moves really quickly and stuff, but I'm glad you threw that comment at us, brother. I really, really appreciate it. But again, see, B. Will is one of those dudes. He could disagree with you and still be a fan of your shit. You know, it's awesome, man. He, by the way, Brett, he also likes the debates we've been having with you about Sea of Thieves. Hilarious.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
I figured somebody would.
Yeah, to quote him, he goes, "These you guys fighting Brett about Sea of Thieves is hilarious." That's what he said. But yeah, Far Cry 5, I don't know if you guys want to, you know, say anything more. I just threw it in there because I thought it was pretty interesting that the game, despite all the controversy or non-controversy, the game still sold like fucking gangbusters, you know?
I enjoyed it. I'd say you do a Brian and wait for the Game of the Year edition, because that season pass is expensive. It's $30, which I'm like,
God damn.
I ain't doing that. But the core game itself, I just bought the regular game. It's great. Like, I enjoyed Far Cry 4, and fuck IGN and whatever they said, where they're like, oh, Far Cry 4, the better story. No, motherfuckers. This is close to home. I can understand this. I've seen these kind of people and stuff. Like, you know, I've been to rural Idaho. This is pretty similar. And, like, so, and of course, being in the United States, I don't know how you can't see this and relate somewhat or see something that you either encountered or experienced or read about happening here. Like on a Pacific island with a dictatorship and stuff, no, I haven't been through that.
Yeah.
But I can still enjoy the story. But this, like, this was really well done. The ending was kind of surprising. I don't know if I have mixed feelings about it. But the overall story and the whole journey was great.
Yeah, I've heard that from people that even like the game. It's like, I don't know about that ending, man. But yeah, we don't need to discuss that right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, anybody else want to jump in on Far Cry? See, by the way, people in the chat seem to be like, yo, they either got the game or like it or are planning to get it. You know, that's good. Support good games, people.
I can't remember the last time Ubisoft has made a bad Far Cry game. So,
like, two.
Yeah,
that was the last time.
Yeah, so if the only complaint people, like, quote unquote, journalists are having is that it doesn't support the message that they want, then yeah, you know, it's a good game.
Yeah, pretty much. Because even they're like, yeah, the game is actually really good. It's fun. But even they have to, like, reluctantly admit that, you know?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. All right, let's move on here to the next thing. This one's just fun, more funny than anything. So, change.org, a bunch of people at change.org have started a petition to get Fortnite banned because it's too addictive. Well, who's taking a piss during the podcast? I just heard some water.
Sorry, I was pouring a glass out.
I was like, damn, who's taking a piss? All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so this petition is on change.org. And it was started by this girl called Chloe De Palma. And this is the description. You guys are going to fucking laugh. Girls have to deal with their boyfriends playing it all day and ignoring them. Together, we can stop this dumb game from existing. It's taking over our boyfriends' lives and brainwashing them.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, the rest of these comments are pretty funny. Elizabeth SS, Fortnite is annoying. It is distracting when people talk about it in class. It is lowering my friend's grades as they are addicted to it. I don't know what to do. She's throwing her life away for the game.
Wait, are you serious right now?
Like, Mark,
this is not a joke?
I wish I was joking, man.
I was about to say. Yeah. I'm like a April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
No, this was started before April Fool's, man. And they're already, they have 526 signatures. They need 1,000, and I guess something's going to happen. By the way, I did this story over at geek.com. My editor was like, Tony, go have fun with this. And I did. I made fun of these people. Mark Fannin goes, Fortnite is turning into more than a game. It is turning into an unhealthy obsession. I have heard kids saying, why bother reading books or do work when I can play Fortnite? It has to stop now.
Yeah, I think you have bigger problems than that. Like, first of all, people, stop telling people how to live. Secondly, if your boyfriend's not paying attention to you, then do something so he stops playing Fortnite. I don't know. Take the controller away and take it to bed with you or something. Like, do something instead of putting up a fucking petition to get your love life straightened out. Thirdly,
yeah,
please provide citations of kids saying that I don't need to read books or go to school anymore. I got Fortnite. Please go find their parents and slap them if that's what's going on, because there's a failure somewhere and it's not the fucking makers of Fortnite.
Here's my thing, and I want to address the girl that started this, right? I have a simple solution for you. Play Fortnite with your boyfriend. You miss him, play Fortnite with your boyfriend. You're probably going to bond more, you know? I'm just saying.
I can't believe this. I mean, like, and is it really that addictive? I mean, are we talking like WoW levels of people's lives getting sucked into it, or League of Legends games where people have literally like skipped work and all that shit? You remember how infamous WoW was? Yeah. Like, people are like, fuck it, I ain't going to work, I ain't going to whatever. I remember petitions going up.
Yeah, the only instance I know of people like supposedly being addicted to this game is from this fucking petition. I've never heard this for Fortnite. Never, you know? That's stupid.
Like to say we got to stop a game from existing because my boyfriend's addicted. It's like, yo, you need to have a talk or something.
you may have other problems, you know?
Yeah, you have other problems going on, man.
Man, some of these comments are funny. I like what this one guy says. He goes, only one thing has to change about Fortnite that we could all agree on. They need more servers. Okay, look at this one. I'm 7 months pregnant, and my husband sits in front of the game every second he's not at work. I need more support than he's giving. Ban the game. It is an addiction that needs to be cured.
Hey, if someone is neglecting you while you're pregnant, then it's fair to say that you made a bad decision choosing a baby daddy.
You know?
Shit. Oh, yeah, man. That's just real, man.
Yeah, like if your significant other is more addicted to a game than to you, then dump their ass.
Yeah, like, it's as simple as that, man.
Like, you have the power to choose whoever you want to like love, so don't choose someone that's going to neglect you.
Yeah, and don't take away people's right to enjoy the game. There are other guys who are enjoying this game and women who are enjoying this game who aren't having that problem. So don't take the game away. Don't blame the game for your husband's shortcomings. Yeah, you guys need to talk. If he's skipping Le Mans classes or if you have to take an Uber to the hospital, then yeah, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, that's a fact. Look at these comments. PUBG is better. Fortnite is trash.
Where's the PUBG fucking petition, right?
Yeah, right. This one guy posted twice. He just said, get rid of it.
Get rid of it? No.
One guy goes, it's gay. Yo, these guys are wild, man. But yeah, here's the thing. When I was first presented to this, I thought it was like some like official shit. No, it's just a bunch of idiots on change.org, you know, whatever. Nothing's going to happen. It's fucking stupid. I had to throw it in because it's just so goofy, you know? Kristen says, so ban the game so nobody can play it because you're mad at your husband's behavior. Exactly. You know, you don't like, don't take responsibility for your own relationship. You know, just enforce your will on everybody, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, does nobody talk, man? Did you, the first thing you did when you saw your husband on the couch goes, comes home from work, you're like pregnant. It's like, he didn't rub my feet. So let me get on the internet and go file a petition.
Oh, the internet is really ruining humanity, man. Yeah. Think about that. Instead of talking with him, no, I'm going to go to change.org right now. Fucking
yeah, because like, what if there are couples that play Fortnite together and that's how they bond? You're killing relationships right there.
Yeah, it's you're like, right. And you also want to put developers out of business. You know, yeah. Come on, man. Just because you can't talk with your significant other, you know?
Yeah. Where's Ninja gonna make his money, man?
Yeah. Oh man, yo, Ninja just cooled it on the N word, man. You know, you ain't. I know you're cool with Drake, but you know.
You don't got a pass, man.
Yeah, come on now. All right, man. And, you know, it's fucking stupid. But I had to throw it in because it's funny. All right. So this is interesting. This is another case of, you know, the people winning, man. Shadow of War removes all microtransactions from the game.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man.
That's a great thing, you know, because we were like, this shit ain't gonna fly, people. It started with Battlefront, whatever the fuck it was, the Star Wars game, and now it's percolating into everything. You know, that's good, because here's the thing. We've accepted DLCs and all that other shit. This thing was like the final nail. We're like, no, fuck that, you know, and I'm glad people did it, you know. My thing is like, I wonder if they're gonna rebalance the game. Here's the thing, when they remove the microtransactions, they don't seem to rebalance the game. It's like you need to rebalance the game too, because you balance it for microtransactions. So now you need to rebalance it.
I would hope so. Like, I'm just wondering why that announcement took so long, especially with the debacle at Battlefront 2, that Warner Brothers just sat on this and like, okay, now we got to move. It's like, what the fuck were you waiting for? Yeah. If you were saying we were rebalancing the game this whole time and now we're pulling it out, then I would understand. It's just like you guys were like, let's see how long we can ride on this. Oh, wait, everyone hates us? Okay, take it out. Take it out. Oh, shit.
Yeah, they admitted they fucked up, though. They basically said that, you know, the whole core of the game is the nemesis system, right, where you find an orc out in the world and, you know, he kills you and then you kind of build a weird relationship with him. They were like, okay, guys, we think we realized that you buying an orc negates all that shit. So,
oh, gee. Well, you finally figured that out?
Yeah. I love how you're right. It's like, okay, so in April, you finally figured this shit out. The game came out, in October last year?
Now you figured it out. Yeah, and the fucking Battlefront 2 shit exploded the minute that game came out. There was the fucking debacle. I mean, fucking countries were debating whether that shit was gambling, and you guys went, we're just going to ride this out.
Yeah, like, no, just don't say nothing. The shit die down, son. And I was like, yo, no one's talking about it. All right, let's go. It's insane, man. But yeah, they were like charging crazy prices for this game too, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame because, I mean, Shadow Mortar was a fucking huge hit.
Yeah, it was a great game, man. And they fucked up with the sequel with that bullshit, you know?
No one could enjoy the game because of their practices.
Yeah, you know, it literally went from a Game of the Year contender for me for Shadow of Mordor to I'm not touching this game. When I found out that marketplace was there, I'm like, I ain't touching this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
same here.
Chris Cobra goes, does Shadow War have a Game of the Year edition yet? No, but they probably will, you know. They said they're going to release a bunch of free DLCs and stuff throughout the year. Apologies, maybe? So, yeah, probably expect one at the end of the year. Because remember, Game of the Year edition usually comes out a year after the game drops. So, probably October, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fucked up. They fucked up. What else can you say, man? But so my thing is like, now I'm hoping that we're not going to get more games with this nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, EA, I'm looking at you. Don't put that shit in the new Need for Speed game, man.
No, what I'm worried about, watch Anthem. That's the game to watch, right? See if they learned anything. Because if Anthem is full of that shit, especially loot boxes, if they had the nerve to fucking launch loot boxes, that shit, with all this stuff going on, that's the ultimate hubris. That's when you walk away from EA and say, fuck you guys, we're done.
Yeah, here's my question though. Did anybody make a big stink about the loot boxes in Call of Duty? Because I didn't hear too many complaints about that, to my surprise. Yeah.
Somehow that skated by.
Yeah, I guess it's Call of Duty. They don't care. Like, it's give me my shit. Yeah, because it's not in space. People were just so happy to get a real Call of Duty game back. You're like, fuck it, we'll deal with it, man. Like, loot boxes in Normandy? Sure, no problem.
Whatever, it's war, baby.
Let's go, let's go. Oh, man. All right, and then the final thing here. This is interesting. So Valve... Okay, let's back up a little bit. So earlier this week, Valve stopped promoting Steam machines, right? Over on you know, their page and stuff. They say they're still supporting it and shit, but let's just be real. They're probably pulling support from that shit. Steam machines, we talked about them before. It was very like ill advised because it's like, okay, who is this for, right? It's not for PC guys. PC guys prefer to build their shit. Not for console guys. Console guys don't give a fuck about Steam games, so it wasn't really for anybody. And then they had like a million different like versions and shit, confusing everybody. It was just doomed from the beginning, man, as we've said, you know. So now I forgot the name of the guy. He's a big YouTuber. He was saying, like, if you're a console guy, wait till the price drops on the shit, because it's gonna drop, then buy it and keep it, because it's gonna be one of those curiosities in like 20 years. You know, I agree with that. You know, like, if you have a 3DO now, you're like, oh, shit, look what I have. You know, that's where the Steam machines is going to go, you know?
Well, I mean, you only needed, like, what, a year or so before you needed that? Because after the Steam machines came out, the freaking GPU prices started getting jacked up.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, man. So
you got a decent, like, Steam machine. You don't have to build a PC anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, as has been pointed out, building your own PC is not that hard nowadays. It really isn't, man. You know, I did it the cheap way. I just paid Microsoft $100 to do it for me, you know. But, you know, everything's color-coded or whatever, so you can do it yourself too, you know.
Is it the cheap way, though? Oh, you're talking about cheap as
in... Yeah, as in cheating, you know. It's not cheap as in money. Definitely not the cheap way money-wise, but it's, you know, cheap in the hip-hop gamer way. You know, I love you, hip-hop. Oh, hold on. Techno, you just showed up right now. We were just talking about your favorite game, man. Call of Duty. Oh, man. But, Brad, get in here, man, because I know you were like, I don't know, not exactly a fan, but you were like cheering Steam machines on to some extent.
You know, I would say I don't understand why they didn't work, except for the fact that Steam never really backed them. And I don't understand what Steam is trying to do, because this was a perfect opportunity to move into the market, but they refused to brand anything and everything, and instead just decided to let it be this wild west of, you know, like, here's an idea that everybody should do. Now everybody do it, but we're not going to do it ourselves. And of course, that didn't inspire a lot of loyalty or, you know, commitment to the project. And then, of course, it ended up like a fart in the wind that never materialized. I think it was still a pretty good idea. And I still think it could be if Steam ever got behind it. But I think Steam is the only person that – the only group that could actually make it work. So the idea is dead in the water. And I can't really say I'm terribly surprised. But I am – I'm disappointed, I guess.
You know, so you're saying that if Valve was actually doing it themselves, it would be better, right?
Well, if Valve actually did something, the problem is they basically came out with a platform and then didn't even invest in their own platform, which isn't going to make a whole lot of confidence for other people to make it. And I realized that they were like, you know, we want it to be an open market. We want anybody able to be able to make it. But again, as the consumer, that makes me nervous. If you're saying, well, anybody can make this kind of car, I'm not real thrilled with that. I'd really make rather you made that kind of car, because, you know, otherwise you're just turfing the work out to anybody who will do it. It just seemed like a weird idea. And I think it would have taken off more if Valve had actually made their own Steam machine and said, you know, other people can make them too. Although I don't even think the other people can make them too part was actually completely necessary. I think they should have just made them.
They're not a hardware company though, so that's...
They could have partnered with some people pretty easily. Like, even if they did just the first generation of Steam machines, it wouldn't have been that hard to convince people to get the box to put in their living room. I mean, everybody knows that the PC player that's like, dude, you're missing out on Steam sales, and they already have the distribution network down. They already have their own voice chat. Like, they already have everything. Why not expand the market by partnering with somebody who already sells PC stuff and taking a portion of all their hardware sales while letting them, you know, basically produce for you and then put your stamp on. Like, it's it. I don't understand why they took such a hands-off approach. Because like, honestly, if I were Steam, or if I were Valve, I would have basically just approached AMD or you know, probably AMD and be like, hey, you know, so you want to slap this thing together? We'd like these specs. We'd like to keep in this price point. Come back with something we were happy with. We'll put our logo on it and take 20% from you. I mean, that would have been so easy to do. And I imagine any of the, you know, big PC gaming PC manufacturers would have kind of jumped at that because it would have been their chance to also enter the console market, which they've been vying to do. So, I mean, it would have been a quick, easy thing that would have made everybody happy. But instead, Valve was just kind of like, you know, we think a Steam Box should be a thing, and we're going to announce it, but we don't actually have anything, and we just think you guys should make it. To which everyone was like, no. And the whole thing just kind of died. So I guess it's a difficult thing to explain because I'm surprised with the final outcome, but I'm not surprised with the reaction to any specific point in any specific link in the chain. Because, yeah, the second you're like, I'm announcing a product, but I don't really believe in it strongly enough to actually support it or partner with somebody or invest with it. I just think all of you should do it and run our run our distribution network off of it. And that was kind of a raw deal. Everyone's like, no, I'm not doing that. Because it was essentially stupid. It was, you know, spend all this money, invest all this stuff, get a minor one-time return, and then nothing for ever and ever after that. Like, Valve should have offered them a percentage of all Steam games sold through their Steam Box. They should have opened up some kind of revenue stream, but I'm not sure if it's just Valve has just a giant pile of money that they're sitting on, so they don't care. But it was just really lazily handled, if you ask me.
No, I agree, and they should have either made sure that the Steam Linux they were offering had higher than 50% compatibility. I think it was lower. Was it 50 or lower? I mean, you need more than half the games compatible with it.
Yeah.
Or you need to make a deal with Microsoft for volume distribution. So you have Windows or you have 100% compatibility. And they didn't even do that. They were just, the main option was like, oh, you could get SteamOS. And it's like, yeah, but SteamOS isn't even compatible with half the games. So that was a huge problem. They didn't partner, make a reference system. That's how Google does it. It's like, you can get the Google Pixel or you can get a Samsung Galaxy. They're both running Android, right? Well, I get the one with the better features. So Google pushes the phones forward and whatever by saying, here's the reference thing, here's our thing. And then you go out, here's Android, go out and make your own. Valve didn't do that.
Yeah, they wanted to go the Android Google route where they just distributed the software and a whole bunch of manufacturers would adapt that software into their phones. But that didn't take off because I don't think there was a marketplace for Steam machines in the first place.
People, no, there wasn't. There wasn't, man.
People are, in the game industry, there's a lot of black and white. There's people who just want to play consoles because it's convenient and it's easier to play on consoles, and it's something they've done traditionally for years. And other people just want to play a PC that does what it does. It's sort of superior hardware, and you can do other things on the PC. It has Steam and stuff. But
don't you think it would have been an easy sell to basically tell people it's like an Xbox but you get Steam deals?
Yeah, but does, like,
if they could have made it that, I'm not saying it was that, but if they could have basically made it where it had its own operating system like Steam Big Picture, all the games were compatible, it launched up just like a console did. I mean, if they made it for all intents and purposes a console that's main distribution network was Steam, which undercut its competitors by like 75%, I think that would have been a super easy. I don't think it would have been too complicated. It's like, oh, there's the regular console or the console that plays the same games for 75% off.
But I guess the whole thing with me is, which fan bases are you going to sort of pick up? Like, for example, an Xbox person, why would they leave their platform Because that's what a lot of people think. It's like, if I'm going to get a Steam machine, then I'm just going to game there. Like, why would they get a Steam machine as opposed
well,
to...
Well, because, I mean...
Friend's like, you paid $60 for that? I just got it for 20.
Well, no.
Yeah, there's that pricing, but also, yeah, you're getting the same game. If it's like, oh, I could get... You know, because the Xbox and PC are having, like, either simultaneously releases, they're in their Windows and Xbox exclusive. So you're getting the same game. Oh, but it's way cheaper on PC. And plus, Steam, which what Valve should have done is made an enhanced version of Steam, kind of like XBMC or something, like an overlay on Windows. Ooh. To just make it easy. Like, you don't see Windows. You don't have to deal with that shit. Steam will just be your interface, and you just play your games and do whatever. You don't have to deal with Windows bullshit, right? That would have been key.
Well, the reason why I kind of disagree with sort of the premise of what you're saying is that, like, that's, like, we're more, like, I'm not trying to, like, do, like, a humble brag or something, but we're more educated with this kind of stuff than the regular person who plays console games.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, an Xbox gamer, I don't think they're too aware of Steam deals like we are.
Yo, Carlos, no, don't say it, son. Don't say it.
No.
But that's Valve's fault for not promoting that. Valve could have said they could have shown some of the deals. It's not false advertising to say, like, hey, here's a deal on titles you care about, like blah 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 blah, and here's the cost of them on this date and whatever. We run Steam sales here and here and here. Like, they didn't do any of that. Like, you need to get that message out. That's a lack of messaging. That's not that's not an Xbox gamer's fault. That's Valve's fault.
Oh yeah, definitely. But what I'm saying is, like, yeah, if their line of advertising wasn't up there with what they should have done, because
there wasn't any. That's my whole point. Like, Valve just didn't try. They literally came out and went, hey, everybody, here's an idea. Work on that. And then walked out of the room smoking a cigarette.
So it's essentially like a PlayStation peripheral, like PSVR and or Move. It's like, let's see if
they didn't even do that, because PlayStation at least made those things. Valve was just like, Valve was the stoner at a party who walked in and was like, you know what? Somebody should totally build a fire. And then, like, gets four people together who thinks they should build they should also build a fire, and then walks away. And they're like, yeah, you guys got this. I was the idea man. I just put it out there, you know. Now get the ball's rolling. It's in your court. Go for it. Have fun. Like, nobody ever follows that guy. That plan always falls apart immediately.
Yeah, and why didn't Valve get a space somewhere, like at E3 or something? Not a big space, or GDC or something, and go, here's Steam OS, here's a Steam machine, here's our reference system. We call it the Blade or whatever. Give it a cool name.
Shit, I didn't think about that. You're right, they didn't advertise that. Why wasn't that GDC? Why wasn't that E3? I didn't even think about that shit.
Because they didn't try. Yeah, they literally just suggested it as an idea and then walked away. Yeah. That is all they did.
Because everything we've mentioned as a parallel, PlayStation VR or whatever, Sony holds conferences. They even have their own PlayStation Experience. You could go try this shit. They made the VR. Why didn't Valve do something like that? Why wasn't there a booth somewhere? GDC, CES, whatever. And here's the Steam machine. Here's Steam OS. We got the compatibility up to 75%. Before. They didn't do anything. Like Brett said, it was completely lazy. It was an idea thrown out there, and then Alienware and all these guys had to go pick it up and go, I guess this is a Steam machine?
Okay,
you want to buy it?
I got a quick question, specifically for Brian. I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did they show Steam machines at the PC show at E3? Either one of them, did they show it off?
And have you watched Moonlight?
To answer Tony's question, I don't think so. To answer Carlos, no.
Yeah, my point
no
is my
to both.
the reason I'm asking that question, because it just blows my mind. So you have Steam machines, right? And you're not showing them at the PC show at E3. Am I crazy here, or do I think that's just insane? Like, what? Oh, makes no sense. By the way, I need to quickly just throw this stupid joke out there, because you guys were talking about how they should have compared this to like Xbox or whatever. That could have been good. You know, if you think about it, you get like a guy with like a thick New York accent. Yo, it's like Xbox, but it's fucking better. You know that? It would have sold, man, because you're right. Like, I've said it, big picture mode, that interface way fucking better than PSN and Xbox. You know, they have something to work with. It's just like Brett said, it's like, hey, guys, you know, I created this thing, man. It's called Fire, son. go ahead, do what you got to do. It's like, yo, what the fuck do we do with this shit? You know, it's crazy. Yeah. By the way, also quickly, because we were having a really good conversation, I want to jump in. Shout out to Techno Fabulous for the super chat, man.
Oh, cool, man.
Like, him and Daniel G are keeping us financed up in this bitch, man. Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway, last thoughts on this ship, Steam Machines? Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Valve should have done more. Like, I understand what they were going for in that, hey, we have this idea, and we're gonna make it open so anyone can use this idea and make their products, which is fine. But the problem is, it doesn't work anymore. There's too many people. And if there's too much choice on the same shit, then it just becomes some will be good, some will be great. You know, you get kind of like with Android phones. You get like your Samsung Galaxies, you get your Sony Xperias and your HTCs, and then you get your Chinese knockoffs. So it's kind of like you're going to get both. And then the consumer is going to come along and say, hey, I want a new Steam machine. Oh, this is the cheap one. I'll buy this one, and then turn out to be ass. And then problems for everyone. So yeah, Valve. Yeah, I do agree with Brett. Valve should have had like their own, like, hey, this is the Steam one. Or at least Valve should like said, okay, you know what? We're going to like only limit it to, I don't know, like PC gaming manufacturers. So like there'll be like a Razer one, there'll be a Nvidia one or something like that. You know, have like official brands out there and then just leave it at that. But
yeah, like no, I said, they should have made a reference system.
Well, go ahead, Chris.
No, and spawn competition, just like Google did it. Like, you know, it's like Google spurned these things, but they knew how to do it. Like when Chrome came out, right? The browsers were just lax. Microsoft's like, yeah, you use IE or you don't. We don't care. And Firefox didn't care because they were the top. And then Chrome came along. It's like, hey, this is how you do a browser. And everybody went, oh, shit. And then started, like, revamping everything, rethinking sandboxes and all that shit. The same thing with the phones. So Steam needed to Valve needed to do that with the Steam machine. They needed a reference system that's like, this is what you can do with it. This is how you do it. This is how you integrate it. And you could use Windows or you could use our Steam OS. And here's how you integrate that. And then leave it and then put it out there and then encourage deals and sponsorships with Dell and all these guys so they make them. And then you set the what it needs to be, right? And then, like Brian said, yeah, you'll get your Chinese knockoffs and whatever, and they'll suck. But you'll have your reference system, and you'll have made deals to set the bar of what this thing should be.
While I agree with Chris and Brett about their sort of the non-existent advertisement of these things, and like also what Brett mentioned, their sort of Valve's non-existent commitment to the platform, I still think. This wouldn't, like, even still, like, if those things were there, I still think this platform wouldn't survive, because it's kind of like a half measure platform. It's not really a PC, it's not really a console, it's kind of in between, and I don't know what the market for that is. I don't know if a market exists that's big enough
why
to.
Couldn't it just
I agree.
So that's my question.
Because I don't think that they wanted to make a console. I think they wanted to make, you know, what Carl said, which is like a bridge off the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Like as far as I understood, like this was meant to be
Valve's console, and then they should have let other people be like, oh, I don't think it would have been a harder sell than the Xboxes, but, you know, with the idea of like, we have the idea of iterative consoles now. We have the idea of this PlayStation is better than that PlayStation. I don't think it would have been that hard to bring people around to the idea of this Steam box is better than that Steam box, but we should have started with an official, standardized baseline. This is the official Steam box, and then you could have all, you know, Razer, like Chris said, Razer goes and makes their own Steam box with, you know, 9 million LEDs on it. They call it Steam Box Razer, and so you can have all these other ones, but you need to start with something clear and unifying. Like, this is the official Valve Steam box, and so people are like, oh, I got a Steam box. Well, what kind? Just the base. What kind do you have? Oh, I got the Razer one. What kind do you have? I got the Logitech one. I heard the Logitech one sucks. It's not that bad.
Man, I heard your mother sucks. You know, that shit's going to start beef and shit.
Dude, and that's fine. Like, internet fights about that kind of shit are good for the companies. So, like, you may have somebody be like, all right, well, I'm going to make a Steam box that is, you know, a little bit cheaper. But that would be Valve's opportunity to step in and be like, all right, a Steam box has to have these minimum requirements to it and actually have them be decent requirements. So that way, you know, like any Steam box will run just about all of these games. But, you know, if you get this Steam box, it's better. This Steam box, it's better. And then you'd have to be very clear about your marketing. You'd have to dumb things down into little icons. Like, do you have a little green circle or a little green swirl on your Steam box? Then look for games with a little green swirl next to them to know that they're compatible. Like, they would have to say that, you know, like, you know, do you have what color Steam box do you have? So it would all have to go through Valve, even in a world of Wild West. Everybody has a Steam box. Everybody makes a Steam box. Valve would have to be the one curating all of these things. Nothing comes to market without Valve's stamp of approval. And when they give the stamp of approval, they give you a color code or a symbol or something like that that shows that you are an official, you know, that's your little icon. And that little icon goes next to all games that, you know, you're compatible with. And so for people who want to work on specs, they can work on specs. And then when there are people who want access to Steam, but they don't want to have to deal with all the PC hubbub, they just like it to be more console-y, then they just look like, oh, I got the Steam box red. So, you know, it's like, oh, you got last year's green. The red runs Call of Duty a little bit better. But, you know, and then somebody's like, well, fuck, maybe I should get the red. But I hear they're coming out with the blue next year. Like, you dumb it down to the point where everybody can understand it. But the ideas aren't new. Yeah, they could have all flown.
But then after that, then it just becomes like PC gaming, except not as good.
You have to bring a horse to water. You can't force it to drink. And that's the thing, is they tried to just throw a bucket of water in the horse's face repeatedly, be like, I don't know why this isn't working. Like, because you need to make something official, standardized, and simple that everybody can flock around and identify that brand in the mind of the consumer base that you're trying to integrate into before you branch off and give them too many options and make their head spin. They all need to know that there is a Steam box and then some special ones, the same way we all know that there is an Xbox. And then there's a special one. We all know there's a PlayStation and a special one. Steam could have done that slowly. Like, here is the Steam box. And then next year, we release three new Steam boxes from the three big PC manufacturers. So we were also releasing an Ultra mode, just like Xbox. But we've got three Ultra ones from three different manufacturers, because now we're branching out. Like, this would have to be a you know, rolled out over the course of a few years. But they should have started it with, here's our Steam box, our Valve Steam box. Everything that we make from now on has to run better than this. Eventually it will be retired. And then you could do that whole iterative console thing that Microsoft was talking about, but access to Steam sales. I would have bought that.
Yeah, good point. Like, they should have had, like, you have graphics cards. Like, NVIDIA comes out with, like, the reference models, and then you would, like, to like manufacturers and say, hey, this is, like, the reference. You use it. You make your own custom coolers and whatnot, and runs better and faster than the reference. But it's also slightly more expensive. And yeah, that's actually a good point. I agree with Brett.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Yeah. All right, man. Since we still got time here, let's go over what games we have been playing, man. Chris, anything else besides Far Cry?
No, Far Cry's eating my face this whole time. I even played the arcade shit, the custom maps.
Well, yeah, how is that shit? Tell us about that.
Some of them are fun. Like, they make scenarios. Like, there's more assets in this game than just trees and little shacks and stuff. Some guy made, like, a city you got to break out of, like, kind of like Escape from New York. And I'm like, this is in the game?
Whoa.
Somehow. Yeah, you can make all sorts of crazy shit. So it's like Mario Maker. They should have called it Far Cry Maker.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, people get open, man. Have you been messing with that stuff?
No, I haven't created anything. I've just been trying out different shit. They sucked at the beginning when the game launched. Like, I'm like, these like lazy, crappy shit. But I gave it some time. Like, I played a couple today, and I was like, yo, this is pretty good. It's like I'm playing Die Hard or something.
Damn, that's awesome. Yeah, you got some virtuoso guys in there now making all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
Now, my question to Chris is, how long before someone makes a Dark Souls level?
Damn.
Oh yeah, that'll happen soon. But there's no swords in the game.
I'm sure they'll figure something out, like a melee only weapon or something, like a melee only map or something like that.
Wait, there's no swords in the game? Literally unplayable.
Oh man! All right. Anything else, dude? That's it, right?
Yeah, that's been pretty much it for me.
Cool. All right, Carlos, man, besides Heroes of the Storm.
Burnout Paradise, like, we streamed that. I played a couple of stuff to get some trophies. I'm trying to think if I played anything else. Chess?
Hey, it's a game. It counts.
It's a game. But other than that, I haven't played anything. Yeah, slow week for me with gaming.
All right, Brian.
I actually forgot what I'm playing. Wait, sorry, no, I remember now. I was playing Amnesia, the collection. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, played some Amnesia, and in between that, playing Burnout Paradise. So those are only two releases. Of course, Warframe, as always, because they bought back one of the events that had in October until the 17th of April. So basically, long story short, they have like events every like couple of months, and then sometimes they're new, sometimes they're old, and usually they last like 2 or 3 weeks, and then they come back like every other year. So they bought one out when I didn't have a PC because mine had broken. Now I'm just going through and playing that. Playing Burnout Paradise. Almost got the platinum now. I need like 5 more trophies left. So
Will have the platinum.
Well, my idea is to actually get the platinum on my 28th birthday. Then I'll actually have my 28th platinum on my 28th birthday.
But then you know what you have to do afterwards, right? You have to get a platinum every year on your birthday.
I think that the 28th one makes sense, but then at the same time, because it's Burnout Paradise and I already have the platinum on PS3, I'm also going to get the platinum for Amnesia. So that way I get my 28th official counted platinum on my 28th birthday and also my 28th unique platinum on my 28th birthday.
Ah.
So that way I can still say I got my 28th platinum, and I mean both counted and unique, because I don't like to double dip.
I got you.
Covering all your bases.
Exactly.
Yeah. By the way, Brian, Technofabulous says, yes, Warframe, will the real Destiny please stand up? Oh, man. All right. Anything else, dude?
No, that's about it. Again, I usually juggle like 3 games at a time. Like one being Warframe, another 2 being whatever I feel like it.
Nice. All right. For me, I've been playing some Burnout. You already know. By the way, bullshit story, because I only have a couple of story, trophies to go. So I was doing the party shit, right? So I was doing the trophy for the 8 party, 8 fucking events shit, right? Why is it that during the middle of this shit, the fucking game crashes on me? I'm like, come on, man, bullshit. So I stopped. Shit. I was defeated. I'm like, man, I'm gonna fuck this shit. The thing is boring as fuck. You know, I hate doing that shit, but, you know, so I'll try it again another time. And I still need to do the cops and robbers shit, and then I'll have 100%. I already got the platinum. I just got to get the 100%. Also, I'm now level 29 in trophies. I beat Ni No Kuni 2, got the trophy for that, and then that put me over the edge right there. So, yeah, Burnout, Ni No Kuni, great game. Here's the thing. People were like, oh, the game's like only 30 hours. I can confirm. Yeah, it kind of is about 30 hours because it took me 40 hours, but I was, you know me, man. I got to do all the side, not all the side. I did a good amount of side quests. I also double grinded. It probably would have taken me 30, 35, right? Maybe, yeah. But yeah, I also appreciated the brevity of it. No real bullshit in the game. Even there's still a bunch of stuff I could do in it, but I'm saving myself for a specific game, which I'll talk about next week. What else? I also, since I beat Ni No Kuni, I'm like, I didn't finish out the Colossus yet. So I beat the 15th boss today. And again, it's just funny because I beat this game already, but I forgot how to beat these bosses. So it's kind of fun re-remembering how to fucking beat them and shit. So yeah, Burnout, Ni No Kuni, and Shadow Colossus. I'm going to have another game to play, but we'll talk about that on Thursday. Wink, wink. and last but not least, Mr. Brett, tell us about Sea of Thieves.
I was going to say, what do y'all think I've been playing? I've been playing Sea of Thieves. I'm not sure if that surprises anybody, but I've been playing a hefty amount, which might surprise some people. Been playing with Morgan a lot. I want to say roughly 3 to 5 hours a night, every night for the last week or so. So getting some good time in on it, actually, and still not bored, still enjoying the shit out of ourselves, still finding out new and interesting little things and and different mission types, but I mean, I'm still driven by hats. I'll be honest. The point of this game is hats and coats. Having a hat, fancy hat and coat. We also determine rank on our ship by who has the fanciest hat. So whoever has the fanciest hat gets to be captain.
Nice. I have an asshole question, though.
Yes.
What's the point of getting all this fancy shit if you can't see it? Because it's the first-person game, you know?
You can. I mean, there's emotes that you can... anytime you do an emote, you snap out to third person.
Oh, okay, so okay.
You can dance and shit like Destiny. You know, for the same reason you have a Destiny, to show everybody else you have the fanciest hat.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I always think of, like, cosmetic stuff in a first-person game as, like, getting rims on your car. You can't enjoy it. You can't see the rims. It's really for other people to look at.
you can when you're dancing or when you're waving or when you're sitting or when you're sleeping or if you just want to, you know, point at something. Or there's emotes that you can do to get it. I would like a third-person option in the game. That's one of the gripes that I have is, like, I really would like a third-person option in this game, but... for some reason, they didn't want to include it, so I'd still like it. I wouldn't bitch about it, but whatever. So, having the biggest, fanciest hat, and like I said, that helps determine rank, at least on our boat. So
sounds fair to me.
I'm actually discovering a really unique thing. Like, at first, I was really actually kind of like a lot of people, was a little bit put off by the idea. I was like, okay, there's no progression. There's no fancier guns or weapons I can get, no faster sails. They kind of turned me off a little bit. And I was like, you know, I still like cosmetic stuff. I play Fashion Souls. I want to get a new piece of armor, not because it's better, but because it looks cool. So inevitably, most of my gaming quests are centered around finding the fanciest hat anyway. So I wasn't too terribly disappointed. But the longer I play, which seems weird because you would think it would be, you know, the longer I play, the more I dislike it. But the longer I play, the more I actually like the system. I can get a fancy musket or, you know, a gold-plated shotgun or whatever I want, but it's not going to help me play any better. That's all determined by skill. And where I'm really starting to enjoy that is I know everybody out there has the same gun as me. They have the same sword as me. They have the same ship as me. So it's not like they're going to sail up on me and chase me down and fuck me up because, God damn it, they've got, you know, the golden sails. There's nothing I can do, blah, blah, blah. If I see a sloop coming up behind me, I'm like, I know I need to catch the wind better. I need to rig my sails better. If I need to, I need to traverse through islands. There's actually a lot of surprising depth to the gameplay. You know, you can zigzag through wind and headwinds, sail through a storm, sail through shallows, drop gun barrels behind you, try and board somebody's ship and have them drop anchor because as soon as they do, they can't rotate. And you raise your sails, which makes you slow down, but you can still rotate because your anchor's not up, and that gives you full line to fire on them. Or even better, if someone's chasing you, jump out back, drop their anchor so that they're pointing forward, drop your anchor, pull hard to left, E-brake turn, broad flank them, and start firing cannonballs at them. You are almost guaranteed to win that fight. I mean, there's really cool, intricate strategies that you can actually start to employ that I'm finding out. And, you know, places where you should keep your loot, places where you can't keep your loot. How, you know, a lot of times we've gone down to... when we're stopping at port with treasure, we'll like throw people off the boat as we do a drive-by so that anybody chasing us has to choose between chasing the people on the island or chasing the horde back on the boat. Nobody ever knows what's what. So even down to we've determined, you know, now when we're playing, we'll call out combat sails on a three-masted ship, which is where we turn tack one sail, the front sail all the way left, the center sail centered, and tack the back sail all the way right and have them about three quarters pulled. So the person piloting or the helmsman can always see, and no matter which direction you turn into, you're always catching some wind. So you're not the fastest, but it gives you the most maneuverability and basically lets the person manning the sails not have to man the sails. So then you can put two people on cannons. So you may not be the fastest ship in the harbor, but you can turn on a fucking dime because you got one person on anchor, and you can shoot the fuck out of people because you've got two people on cannons. And that person on anchor can then be on cannons. So you can drop on a dime, turn on somebody, and start firing three cannons repeatedly at them. And that's going to fuck up anybody's day. So you actually have to call out certain things and have really good communication. I need somebody to attack the sails to the left. I need somebody to man the cannons. How many cannonballs do we have? Are we running low on bananas, which are your health potions? And we're starting to do more skull forts, which are the kind of end game raid stuff where the big skull appears. And every time we go to a skull fort, we run into other players. Sometimes one, sometimes fucking six of them. We did Skull 4 raid the other night with some random people that we met, and we had to fight off half the fucking server. We fought off two or three galleons. We're not sure if one of them was a respawn, and about three sloops who all constantly came and harassed us while we were trying to actually get this fort. So we had to fight off half the server on one side of our ship while fighting through the skeleton fort on the other side of the ship, and then grab the loot and haul back with half the server coming in tow, because as soon as you beat the skeleton fort, that skull disappears. As soon as you're fighting the captain, the eyes glow red. So everybody on the server knows exactly what's happening. They're circling the harbors waiting for us to finish this shit. So when we get done, we have to run a gauntlet of other pirate ships aiming for this treasure, because the chest from the stronghold nets you about 6 to 8 grand worth of gold. It is a hefty fucking chest. So everybody wants it. Everybody's coming after you for it. And it's made for some really interesting good times. We've actually, me and Morgan have met, I want to say about 4 or 5 people now that we've added to my friends list that we talk on voice chat, and anytime we're on Sea of Thieves, we'll throw together a galleon, or I've made friends in this game, which is interesting. I've also had lots of hate mail back and forth, to which I say to you haters, it's Sea of Thieves, not Sea of Friends. Deal with it. We're all pirates.
Hey. All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. So, I don't know.
By the way,
what's up?
I have one last thing.
Oh, and one more thing. What's up?
Do we want to discuss this right now or tomorrow? Wait till tomorrow. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
We're gonna tease it now. Next week on Throwdown, we're gonna start a contest, people. I'm gonna tell you what it's for. But it's for a really big fucking game. We'll leave it at that.
I mean, he means physically large. It is about 2 feet by 3 feet.
Yeah, like a literal
the old
big
Earthbound.
Game.
It's kind of like that box.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll officially announce it on Thursday. Right? Going to be a good contest, no, man.
Or maybe to... Well, I thought tomorrow, but we'll stay tuned. We'll check Twitter.
We'll figure it out, man. Because let me check the dates real quick. Yeah. Actually, wait. I think you might be right about that. We'll keep you updated. it's probably going to be on Sunday. We'll launch this thing. I think Sunday would be good. Yeah, I think Sunday might be good. You know?
Cool.
We'll talk later. I don't think we planned this shit very well. oh man. All right, so schedule here. All right, so thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I saw Holy Polanco and almost fucked up my name. And I was joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Well, make sure to watch that Lucha Underground.
Brett Murdoch.
Who the fuck? How are you gonna fuck up your own name?
Yeah, Ray, what's up with that? Tony. Blah, blah, blah. And Mr. Brian Monjoma. I don't fuck up Brian's name. They always get that shit legit, son.
Yeah. One of the biggest concerns I have with God of War is that it's coming out a bit too close to Infinity War. So I think sales maybe get affected, which is annoying. But yeah. Bye, people.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Contest shit coming soon. Later.